Thank you, and thanks to the HMA for the invite here. I really appreciate it. So I have to do a little hearing test, okay, because I have hearing aids and I tend to hear myself and talk soft, so everyone can hear me just fine. Thank you. Going here. So what they didn't say, my introduction doesn't say, I like on my Facebook, my wife hates it, I'm a global trade show junkie, right? I have been for a long time. And so I have a lot of experience, diverse experience, and CLTs is actually somewhat new to me. I mean, so when Linda asked if I could speak, one of the issues was that there was a slot open because today there are people in the West Coast and Portland at the Mass Timber Conference. And the Mass Timber Conference is the softwood rock star party about CLTs. And so in that, it was almost perfect for me. Everyone else is on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. Everyone's talking about softwoods. I'm talking about hardwoods. If you know me at all, that's perfect, right? That's a perfect segue into what I'm going to talk about today. Thank you. So in doing this, just last 3-4 weeks here when I had the opportunity, instead of talking about what I'm going to do or what I'm trying to do, you know, I'm going to intermix that with our presentation. But I'd like to thank everybody else, because what I did is I reached out to the real people doing the real research, so I could give you a overview, and that's my goal here. I'm going to overview the CLT sector, the mass timber sector, but I'm not going to do it with all my work. In fact, half my slides are from other people, and I know that may not be necessarily typical, but I think it's really effective when you see what I'm going to do and how I'm going to present it. So those are all the people, and you'll see more of their work coming up, but I'd like to thank everyone who helped me in preparing this slide. So today, we're gonna talk about mass timber, and I say mass timber because there's more mass. CLT is one part of the mass timber sector. We're gonna talk about, first of all, the whole mass timber sector, and then we'll go back and focus on CLTs. I'm gonna try and give you a little bit of information on the actual processes and the machine tool vendors. I'm going to give you some information on the research, because the hardwood industry, from a research standpoint, is a great position, really. When you see what's being done by who's doing it, all the way from Clemson to University of Maine, you're in great shape technically, right? And I think those are some of the hurdles we have to jump, is beyond the technical aspects of this. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the softwood people, what they're doing. I think Dana talked about it a little bit, in the extremely well-organized, well-financed programs that they have. And then we're going to follow up with little Q&A, next steps. And I'm going to be around for the next day and a half. So if you want more information, please, you know, connect with me. I do have one great paper that I'm going to, I don't have it, I have it in my briefcase. I'll share. If anyone wants a really good read on the current status and the future of mass timber, please see me after and I'll share the paper. So I've been around a long time and I know the wood industry pretty darn well. And I asked this question, you know, this is a cross section, right? This is an intersection between construction and woodworking. And ask yourself, who's better at woodworking? Is it the softwood guys or the hardwood guys? I'm going to come back to that question. So I just want you to think about it. This is a woodworking industry, the CLT, right? So who's good at that? Who's done more of that? You know, we're talking about more than just making studs here. So, and everyone thinks CLTs is all about tall timbers, let's say tall buildings, going up taller and taller and taller. In Europe, that's not the case. In fact, the fledgling industry in Europe depended on the second home industry and the ecological home industry to even get its foothold. Today, everyone's talking about massive buildings, tall, going up from 5 stories to 18 stories. Isn't this a gorgeous building? This is a CLT building. It's just absolutely beautiful. And don't get bought into it's all about big, massive timber structures. It's about the future. And I, I, And a lot of people don't understand the future about building and building construction. The construction sector is going to become different. I know there's a lot of talk in the industry about Katerra. I don't know if anyone's heard of Katerra out in the West Coast. They started 3 years ago. They raised $3 billion so far in their approach to the new construction industry. And yes, they are building a $150 million CLT plant. But what it is about building information modeling and how you use that modeling to develop the construction of the future. It's taking Revit drawings and using that to get the CAD/CAM machine code. So this is more about just wood and gluing wood. It's about a process, it's about a system. You can actually look, and with some of these new systems, when you're building a building, you put your headset on, you actually can see what's inside the wall. So what I want to do is first review mass timber. It's glue lamps. I mean, how long has glue lamps been around? Glue lamps, this is a mass timber product. And if I were starting, maybe I'd start with this. You know, you have to have a finger jointer and laminating, but you don't have to follow all the rigorous codes and protocols that CLTs require. But this is probably one of the oldest glued mass timber products there is in the sector. This hardwoods worked great. Hardwoods, this would work. You could make hardwood CLTs. In addition to glue lamps, there's nail laminated timbers. How long have they been around? 200 years, 300 years? In Duluth, where I live, they tore down an old grain elevator, and it was nail laminated timbers. And so nail lam has been around for a long time, and it's a great option. It doesn't require all of the code and the oversight and the requirements. You could do this. There's great vendors out there that you can work with to get your nails and your specifics. My favorite, by the way, in nail laminating and innovation is a wood nail. This system is a coalated wood nail, and it works. It's not a gimmick. It's a serious product developed by the Beck Fastener Groups. Mr. Grandfather Beck first invented the collated staple. These are the people that make nails for the world. All the Hitachis and the Sencos buy their products from Beck Fastener, and they have a new system for wood nails. And again, so it's not just nail laminated. I'm saying you even can do a wood nail laminated product. And no glue, right? It's ecological. There is no glue here. It's just popping the wood nails in a specific pattern. Again, everyone talks about the big, thick mass timbers. There's other options. This is a good way to start. Just make plywood out of your sawn material. This is actually in Germany. There were 4 plants built last year just to do CLT plywood. It's not rotary peeled or peeled veneer. It's sawn veneer, and it can be constructed into a mass panel, and the mass panel doesn't have thickness mass, it has dimensional mass. So it becomes an easy construction product. Dowel laminated, I mean, obviously, hardwood dowels. This is, again, another dowel laminated timbers. This is a simple way to start. You don't have to start with all the extras. You can start this way, and you don't need all it. So the hardwood industry, to me, this is ideal for the hardwood industry because you already do the dolls. I mean, way back to the invention of the wood nail and the dowels, hardwood connections have been an important part of the wood industry since they started to build ships. And so using wood dowels, you can construct a mass timber product, whether you construct a ceiling system or a wall system, and you can do it. There's equipment out there that does this for you. You can buy plants to do this, and these plants don't have the capital, as much capital as a CLT. Again, there's options available, and this is one of my clients makes this. It's called EFEX. It's a version of a CLT. It's a mass timber product. It's made 4 foot wide by, 20 meters long. And again, it's my point was it's a version. When you're thinking about mass timber, don't think just about CLTs. Okay, CLTs. Okay, so that's, you can see the timeline of the CLTs. In CLTs, cross-laminated timbers, in the early 90s, the research started to come out of Europe, out of Switzerland, and you can see the pattern of growth here. I know it's hard to see, so 94, right, when the first CLT research started to come, you started to get the bigger players in Europe starting to build plants, but even those plants were small. And then you can see through the 2000s that it started to ramp, and now you're seeing this growth curve. This growth curve is going to, it's predicted to continue. And I'm so excited that the wood industry is excited about something, right? It's just so nice to see. I don't know how to sustain that growth. I don't know how people are going to sustain that growth. Because we were talking at breakfast, you know, the concrete industry, the steel industry, they don't like this, right? When you start taking 30-40% of certain sectors out of the concrete market, the concrete people are going to, you know, they invented concrete boots, right? They in Washington have a huge lobby, and it's complicated. But you're going to see, I think you're going to see continued growth. As you can see the process here, this is probably the simplest chart that I've seen that depicts CLT. This is part of the paper that I have that I would like to share. Really, it's one paper. It's a 30-page paper. It really gives you all the things you need to understand about CLT production. And you can easily see that you start with the kiln-dried lumber, and then you have to finger join it. And that's a big jump for many of the hardwood people. I know some hardwood people finger joint. This is not a regular hardwood finger joint that you use in like stair parts, right? This is a structural finger joint. So this is a different animal, right? Structural finger jointing is a big jump. That's why I say glulam would be a great place to start, because you still need to do the structural finger joint. So it's a good start. But then the key in the CLT, by the way, we were talking about breakfast, I heard someone say about the layers. We always refer, when you're talking about the layers of CLTs, refer it to lamellas. That's kind of the generic industry term. You're making layers, right? The layers of the material. But you have to have dimensional tolerances. For this to work, you have to be able to machine the wood, dry the wood, machine the wood. And by the way, you have to dry the wood not to 6-8%. The wood, according to the standard, has to be dried to 12%. So again, that's different for the hardwood industry. It's something that you have to bear in mind. But having the machine, the four side planing is essential. Four side planing is absolutely essential to the dimensional tolerances. Could you imagine? You're not just gluing this way, you're gluing this way. So if you don't have a perfect rectangle, it's not going to work, right? So that you have to bear in mind that you have to machine to tight tolerances. Going back to my woodworking, are you woodworkers? This is a woodworking process. So the benefits of CLTs, we're all wood people. We're all bought into the CO2 sequestration. There's no question that a renewable product of wood versus a cement type product is a tenfold advantage over other materials such as steel and concrete. And it does give us an opportunity to increase the value of our materials, and a unique way to add value so we can do good forestry. Because if you don't have good products to make and sell, your forestry can't afford to do a good job. And the CLTs does provide that opportunity to increase the utilization. And of course, the volumes are incredibly high. I mean, I have one client I have is Storo Enso Timber, and they have a CLT plant in Austria, and they bid a skyscraper, right, a CLT skyscraper. That one contract will take one of their mills in Austria 1 year to produce. That's all they're going to produce. One product for one company in the entire year. So the volume of the potential is huge, and it's almost scary. So what the softwood industry has done very, very well is organize. I mean, I don't think anyone can argue the fact that they have done an incredible job organizing the information. They've done an incredible job working with the code agencies. And so there's, if you're starting to look at this, again, I would encourage everyone to start with the CLT handbook, right? It's online, you can download it free, and it really does walk you through all the potentials of the processes you have to go through to build CLTs. The second thing you're going to have to do is understand the ANSI, APA, PRG 320, and that's the prescriptive code written for CLTs. And the new version out in 2018 has some good news for the hardwood industry, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But these are the resources, just the tip of the iceberg of the resources that you can tap into. When you're doing CLTs, as per PRG 320, it's a glued product. So now you got to start choosing glues. And there's three basic glues that have been used to date. Melamine urea formaldehyde is what has kind of like the next generation. The polyurethane hot liquid polyurethanes have the most history, right? But then it gets to that fight between the glue companies. You know, is my glue going to be fire resistant, or is your glue? And it gets to be almost a political fight between these two companies, these processes. And the third lesser of the three use glue is the emulsified polyurethane, the EPIs. EPIs are widely used. They've been around for 30 years. They work great. And these are just examples of the companies that you could buy from, Hexion, Henkel, or Franklin. And I'm sure those in secondary already buy from some of those. Remember, it's not just gluing the wood together, it's machining the wood, right? It's not just machining the wood, it's connecting the wood. And so that's one of the things that you have to be aware of if you're thinking about CLT production, is how am I going to take that panel and how am I going to precisely machine it to the tolerances I need to assemble it. And in that, there's a lot of assembly required and a lot of connections required. And actually, this is the one area that I focus on, is the wood-to-wood connections. But you have to realize this is more than just gluing wood, right? It's gluing wood, machining wood. And of course, there's design and the build part of it. So the build requires the CNC. And these CNC machine tools do get big because you're machining large panels. So this is a typical plant. This is out of Europe. This is a typical CLT plant using the urea formaldehyde and the EPIs. You simply lay it up. You lay up your lineal layer, your vertical layers, and you put your cross layers, and you keep on adding it to that whatever three layers up to seven layers thick, and you put it into a large press, and it comes out looking like this. Simple but expensive, by the way. Simple, these are expensive plants. But the people are building these. The glue CLT large plants kind of start at $40 million. So it's a little scary. Even for big softwood companies, that's a scary number. But people started simple, right? Simple. And you don't have to do the large scale, big, using a polyurethane. This is where it started, by the way, in Switzerland. This is where it started, with polyurethane, liquid polyurethanes. How simple is that? You use polyurethanes, and I'm not sure how it would work, quite honestly, with hardwoods, because the process is a vacuum laminating process. I don't know if the vacuum laminating process is enough strength or to pull all the hardwoods together, because let's face it, hardwoods are stiff, right? And by the way, that's good. I mean, you'll see that in the upcoming slide. Stiffness is important, but they're simple. They're very simple, right? It's not like the big plants for making the other. Look how simple a plant like that is. This is not a $40 million plant. This is much simpler. There are simple ways to start, and then it's really up to what you want to do and how you want to start. This is actually a research facility out of Scotland, and they have all the components you need, and they spend about $6 million. That's still a lot of money. I get it. I know that. But it's a far cry from the $40 million, and you get going. And you get going with this, and you can move on and beyond this. The good news is for the hardwood industry, the vendor base is a known vendor base. Yeah, SCM, I mean, that's, even though it's a foreign company based out of Italy, SCM is a very important part of our woodworking sector. I'm sure everyone knows SCM here. Weinig, again, Weinig, they have CLT lines. So you don't have to go to Europe to buy. You can call your Weinig representative and ask him to come in and give you a presentation. Today here we have USNR. USNR, they're a great supplier for this industry. You don't have to think of going out and chasing around the world to find the right equipment. We have good vendors already. There are vendors, there are kind of world-class vendors that are building these big plants, and this is an example, Lenderick out of Europe. The one thing I really liked about, not just about Lenderick, but about, you can see the size of these, you can see the size of the finger joining lines. They're massive. I've never seen a finger joining line like this. I like this picture because it really, I took it at Ligna last year, and it really shows you one thing really unique, and that's this right here, a father and a son, showing his son the woodworking industry in Europe. I'm not quite sure. I know there's some children here, but that's the difference, by the way. It's generational. I know the hardwood industry, I see a lot of family businesses here. That's great. That's a big jump, though, in Europe. People are thinking the next generation all the time. And again, another example of a large producer. Okay, why hardwoods? Again, I'd like to, one of the things we're really, the hardwood industry is really lucky to have, and that's to have the Forest Service. The Forest Service is on your side. I guarantee you, the Forest Service, all the state foresters in your states, working with the federal government and the state and private forestry and Hardwood Educational Center in Princeton, West Virginia, and all the other systems. All this work I'm going to show you in the next few minutes is all funded by the Forest Service. The Forest Service wants to see this succeed, and they want to see it succeed in hardwoods as well as softwoods. And I'm encouraging everyone to reach out when you see this. We're going to look at a lot of different research here and coming down. But I think this was a project done in the state of Indiana, and it was done by an architect developer, and he made a fancy piece of art decor for like a. It wasn't a building. It was an art structure, but he does call out a lot of interesting things, and you know, because everyone's talking about how can we use hardwoods, and he really I think that, and I know it's hard to read, so I'll read it. The second line down, the first line is superior mechanical properties, and the second line is same structural capacity with less material. This is hardwood versus softwood, so you have advantages. You just have to figure out how to use those advantages. And again, the idea, I talked to a few people at breakfast and yesterday, the idea of using combination CLTs is definitely maybe the first step that you can go through, because hardwoods are stiffer, they produce a more decorative exterior. So seeing hardwoods and softwoods mix is a good idea. There might be some issues, right? The technical issues that haven't been addressed yet. But in general, you can see people are thinking this way. One of the things that's really important here is this goes back. This is a snapshot out of PRG 320. This year, they included something that's extremely, extremely important. And that's right here. Proprietary lumber grades meeting or exceeding the mechanical properties of lumber grades specified above shall be permitted to use, provided they are qualified in accordance with the requirements of an approved agency. That's hardwoods, guys. That's hardwoods. We can use hardwoods. It's in the code now. You can do it. It's not an issue. And you can see in this slide, you can see the advantages the hardwoods have. It's a clear advantage that this is the minimum grade that you need, the structural grade. It all comes down to specific gravity of the wood. It's clear. It's just a straight linear equation. The denser the wood, the more mechanical properties the wood have, right? So if you're trying to build something stiff, you use the hardest wood you can. And in this case, you can see the minimum here is 0.35. Even basswood is denser than that. Okay? So basswood, aspen, those are at the low end here. You start moving up to where the maples, or where's the red maple? Ash and maple. There's no question that the mechanical properties are present in hardwood lumber to make this work. This is to me the biggest issue, the dimensional stability. The more the denser the wood means more wood fiber. The more wood fiber, the more wood moves. That's the one thing that hasn't been really well addressed by the hardwood sector. Can we build hardwood CLTs? Absolutely. Are they going to be dimensionally stable enough to work? I don't know if that's answered yet. It's a kind of difficult to answer because you actually have to put up some structures and see how they perform. You can do some predictive analysis, but in general, that is my biggest concern. Then it comes to the second biggest concern, not the technical, sir, is the economics. This is a slide that I got from a colleague from the University of Minnesota, and I think that might be the biggest gap here that we have to talk about. Can the hardwood industry produce a product that is a price competitive with softwoods to produce a CLT? And I even though my numbers are a couple years old, I don't know the answer to that. Are your mills configured to do this? I don't know that. Economics is really something that I think you have to dive into almost as an individual company. I'm not quite sure how to deal with that, but those, you're looking at the two big issues. It's dimensional stability and economics. Now there's no other real issues, quite honestly, as I see it. Of course, the volume, and we all like to see this. We're all looking for ways to utilize our low-grade material. The potential to use your low-grade in a CLT is phenomenal. 3A, 3 common. I was doing a project for building a CLT, a timber for construction mats out of a pallet lumber. Boy, that some of that red oak pallet lumber looks pretty darn good to me, and I'm sure it would work. So there is potential, but also you have to realize the volumes that some of these plants take. Again, going back to my idea, let's start small, right? Let's not get crazy about the volumes, because you can all argue that CLT plant, 24 million board feet, the average CLT plant, that's a lot of wood. That's probably production capacity beyond a lot of single hardwood sawmills. So it's hardwood CLTs are being used in Europe. We have an example here out of Austria, where they did a birch, a current producer of CLTs did a birch CLT, and the mechanical properties are amazing. They blow the softwood performance out of the water, as does beech. Again, it's being done. It's It's just a matter of finding your niche and finding what you want to do. So here, for the next kind of few minutes, I just want to talk about other people. But it's also, I really want to make a point here. Your industry is so lucky to have these people. And these are my colleagues, and I'm promoting the industry, you know, and I'm trying to give back as much as I can. So please call me, but please call them, right? These people can help you. There's nobody, I don't think, has set themselves apart better than University of Maine. They have an incredible facility for 100,000 square foot R&D facility. They have all of the tools you need to develop and test. And the testing will be critical. Because right here, they have to make a CLT and sell a CLT, you have to have it certified. There are very, very few places in the country that you can get your CLT certified according to PRG 320. University of Maine is one of those. And they have an ISO 17025, which is the required certification for testing. And so they certified to test CLTs and to certify them as meeting the PRG 320. And again, this is all in I included all the contact information in my presentation. So go back, it's gonna be posted on the site. You can go back and find these people, right? And again, University of Maine done a wonderful job. University of West Virginia has done a wonderful job. In fact, they, along with Virginia Tech, have probably advanced the use of hardwood CLTs more than anybody else. And again, but this goes back to the Forest Service. Look at these funding opportunities that they've taken advantage of. Way back to 2012, they're focusing on this. They're focusing on yellow poplar and red maple. Again, their development of low-grade hardwood cross-laminated timbers, 2012. The work is done. The work is done. Really, it is. If I were going to try and come up with a research proposal, I don't know where I'd start, because I think a lot of the work is already done. It's done by great people who are your friends of your industry. So you have Maine, West Virginia. Here's more work at West Virginia. More work at West Virginia. They even have a prototype lab now in West Virginia. So you want to make some CLTs? Go see these guys. They have a lab. They'll make prototypes for you. Again, David Dalavance, great guy. Please reach out to him. So we remember Maine, where you start adding them up, right? West Virginia, the Northeast, UMass. UMass has done great work. Peggy is just an absolutely standout person, and she's just done great work advancing the cause of the CLTs. Hardwoods, even though she's looked at softwoods, by the way, the Eastern Hemlock, again, she's done work in low-grade hardwoods also. And there's Peggy's information. Michigan, eh? And of course, very creative slide how he's done this, but you can see that they've looked at 8 different hardwood species. Right? So you don't have to start from scratch here. And of course, South Carolina's own Clemson, right? Clemson has done a great job developing the base information. They do prototyping. Pat Layton is just, she's phenomenal, 30 miles from here. So that's my point. You got Maine, Michigan, West Virginia, Clemson, Virginia Tech. You've got all these people that are resources that have done the work. The technical part is pretty much over. It's the prototype and market development. Sorry, the slide. I know it's hard to see. It's amazing what the softwood industry has done, how they raise money. if everyone goes to a Woodworks event, can I ask that? How many people in this room have gone to a Woodworks event? A few, right? It's amazing what they do, how many events they have, and how well they're attended. They have some events where there's 1,500 architects. Well, that's your customer base, by the way, architects. And you go, the Woodworks is, the softwood industry has done an amazing job developing programs, including Woodworks, right? And Woodworks is a great source for information. Let's say you're going to, if you need third-party technical engineering support, that's what they do, right? You can call Woodworks, and it's free, even though it's funded by the softwood industry. They will help anybody who calls, as the American Wood Council. I mean, again, I don't know. Dana probably could tell me a lot more about what happens in Washington. And all I know is that you look at all these things, and then you look at the resources that they have developed. Like in the middle column here, you see all of the resources. These are all great resources that are free download resources. So if you want to, do CLTs, you can download the CLT resource. You have the nail laminated resource. You have the dowel laminated resource. It's all available. Next steps, okay? And you have to choose where to start. And I guess that's the discussion today. Where are you going to start? What are you going to start with? You know, are you going to start with CLTs? Are you going to start with dowel laminated, nail laminated? I'm just promoting the fact that there's more than the traditional CLTs to think about. There's these others. So please think about that. And then you have to do what you're doing, already doing. You bring a collective voice to it. Because going from where you're at today to having this work is more about working together than working as individual companies and organizations. So you're already doing what you need to do. And I know it's fledgling, it's just starting, there's a lot of activity and support and enthusiasm for all of this. And again, I think you got to reach out to your machine tool base, whether USNR, Weinig, other people. I encourage everyone to think about going to LIGNA if you haven't been to LIGNA. If you really wanted a good overview, LIGNA 2019 is coming up. That'd be a great way to start. Is just go with that agenda in mind. I'm going to learn everything I can about CLTs, and go after state, federal, and private sourcing, equity sourcing. And I have an example. So, and this is my call out. This is the most important slide, because I have a soft money job. I always direct grants and grant proposals. And I already ran this by the program officer. In May 7th, there's these proposals that are due. Remember, wood is an agricultural product. The Forest Service, the USDA considers wood an agricultural product. And the Agricultural Marketing Service has an RFP out where we can apply as a group. It won't work the proposals won't be successful if they're individuals. It has to be a collective. It doesn't, actually, if a single company tries to apply, they get rejected. It's got to be a collective effort. And I'm saying, I already run this past them, would market barriers to CLT, hardwood CLT, be a good topic? And I got a great response, absolutely. And I am going to try and put a proposal in, and I ask everybody to consider this and reach out to me or reach out to the other people I've showed you, because I'm going to try and bring everyone together and try and come up with that. What are the barriers to CLT, hardwood CLTs? And again, this is a $250,000 grant opportunity that requires one-to-one match. So potentially we could have, as a group, $500,000 of effort into really looking at this seriously. What are the barriers? What do we need to do? And again, these opportunities are there. We just have to figure out a way to do them collectively. Again, my question, are we better woodworkers than those softwood folks? I think so. I think this is a great opportunity for the hardwood industry. And that's as I move to my sunset in my career, that's kind of what I want, is a little CLT cabin on a lake somewhere. So I'm going to be around for the next couple days. I don't want to get in the way of anybody's lunch here. I've taken a little more than my time, so please seek me out, ask me questions, engage in the discussion for the next day and a half. I hope it was helpful, and please reach out to your locals, your state foresters, your state utilization foresters, your local universities. I think all the information is there. Thank you.